When is the last time that you connected holiness with anything? And what I mean by that is when we consider the holiness of God and we consider those beautiful things that are connected directly to holiness, or those beautiful people that are directly connected to holiness. I thought about holiness from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So I thought we would do a word study, but also look at some of those words in their context. I believe you'll find it very encouraging. When we consider the word holy or holiness, I want to give you a couple of definitions, starting with the Old Testament. Here we find one particular word, and I'll just give you a few definitions. We see the word holiness as one who shows himself sacred or majestic, to be holy, to be set apart, to be sacred, to be consecrated, to be dedicated. But also, this particular word is used in another way, apartness, referring of God, or of places, or of things, sacredness, holiness. But in the New Testament, we see this particular word, hagios. This particular word means to be pure, morally blameless, or religious, sacred, ceremonial. Another word is also used, and this word here has a different idea, yet just as strong. It means piety toward God, fidelity in observing the obligations of piety. Holiness. A few of these that I want us to look at. The first one we see in Leviticus chapter 10, and all of us know this familiar passage of scripture. And let me take that back. Most of us, I would say. Remember in Leviticus chapter 10, we find Nadab and Abihu, and remember they offered strange fire unto God. If you take notice of verse number 3, here we see this particular word as relates to holy or holiness. In verse number 3, the Bible teaches us here, and Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying. Now these are God's words directly. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. I like the King James Version. It uses the word sanctified. But then turn your Bibles to the book of chapter 11 and verse number 44 through verse number 45. Notice what the Lord himself says. Now, God said this, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy. Now, notice what God says, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping things that creep on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. And you shall therefore be holy. And he tells them why. I'm holy. I'm set apart. I'm sacred. Now, we consider some of these things, and I want us to take notice of how the New Testament uses this particular word, holy or holiness. We would be here all night if we was look at all of the contexts. But I do want to gravitate to about five contexts that I believe will be worthy of our consideration. The first one, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, the Apostle Peter has something very powerful to say to those who were scattered abroad. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 13, notice what your Bible says. Therefore, gird. I love that word gird, the idea of a soldier who is running. He has to gird up his clothing so he can actually run and not trip over the garments itself. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So looking forward to something here, it is the revelation of Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, meaning that old lifestyle that you used to live, as in your ignorance, when you didn't know right from wrong, couldn't tell the clean from the unclean, this is what he's talking about. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your lifestyle, because it is written. Now he quotes from Leviticus 11, be holy, for I am holy. Notice what's connected to holiness, steadfastness. When one is steadfast in their Christianity, they're actually being steadfast to the grace of God. You remember what Paul would say in Titus 2 and verse number 11? It is the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. When we consider this, friends, we should have a desire to leave away those things that used to trip us up, the former lust. I'm reminded of what Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 11, and notice what the Bible there has to say. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. When one is attempting and striving to be holy, he wants to stay away, or she wants to stay away from those things that carry the soul away. But then I want us to take notice of Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, which is right before the book of James, verses 36 through verse number 39. This will be our final point under this first point as it relates to steadfastness in the grace of God, which is connected directly to holiness. Here, the Hebrews writer, as he is encouraging these Hebrew Christians to remain faithful, be steadfast, don't go back. Look at verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, I want us to just take a quick little point right here. We will not receive the promise until after we have done the will of God. And when we have done the will of God, Jesus Christ himself will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, which means that as of right now, we're still in the process of doing the will of God. That's a beautiful concept. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come. He won't wait. Now the just shall live by faith. Now this is a quote from Habakkuk 2 and verse number 4. Paul would also quote this in the book of Romans chapter 1. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But notice the exhortation in verse 39 that I believe is beautiful and connected to the holiness of God. But we are not of those who draw back to destruction. One version says perdition. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I love how the Hebrews writer says we're not like that. And the reason why is because we are gravitating and holding fast, being steadfast to the grace of God. Number two, what else is connected directly to the holiness of God? To be connected to the holiness of God is to be connected to God himself. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, this is a faithful passage for members of the Lord's church. You remember what the Bible there says? Salute one another with a holy kiss. A kiss that is set apart, a greeting, if you will. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, I want us to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 20. And you can put this in your notes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 26. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 20, notice what your Bible there says. Notice what is connected to God and connected to his holiness. Notice what he says. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with what? Sacred kiss, holy kiss, a kiss that is set apart, in essence, a greeting that is holy and right and set apart and devoted to God. You know, when we greet one another, we ought to be greeting, good to see you, brother. Sister, good to see you. How you feeling? How you doing? I was talking to Sister Barner on the way here and was talking about a certain situation. And I said, as the people of God, we ought to be thankful, number one, that we're Christians. And that ought to put us in a better mood. Just knowing I'm a Christian. I know sometimes it gets tough. But friends, the holiness of God ought to connect us straight to him and realize, oh, this is tough. I understand this, but I'm going to make it. I'll be all right. And ought to be able to receive that encouragement. I'm reminded of Hebrews 13:1. Turn your Bibles there in Hebrews 13, 1, and you can put it in your notes, Psalm 133 and verse number 1 through 3. But in Hebrews 13 and verse number 1, notice what the Hebrews writer says, and this is a powerful passage directly connected to the holiness of God. He says, let brotherly love continue. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Here he says, let brotherly love continue. And then turn your Bibles to 2 Peter 1 and verse number 7, and we'll see another aspect of brotherliness, if you will. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7, notice what the Bible there says. As we are adding to our faith godliness, what else are we adding to our faith, Brother Jerry? Brotherly kindness. What is connected to the holiness of God? A holy kiss. Brotherly love. Brotherly kindness. I'm reminded of a situation that took place during the time of Israel departing from Egyptian bondage. And their cousins wouldn't allow them to come through their land. And God did not forget about that. The Edomites. You know, God took care of them. And that's why the book of Obadiah is written. They did not show brotherly love, brotherly kindness. They did not salute their brethren. They needed their help as they was coming out of that bondage, of that cruel lifestyle that they were involved in. And God was bringing them out. At least what you could have done was help the brethren out. Here, we understand that brotherly love and brotherly kindness ought to continue. We ought to be adding these things to our faith. Number three, what else is connected to the holiness of God? How about Jesus Christ himself? It's interesting sometimes when we hear people use language that is unbecoming of a Christian. And I'm not talking about Christians, but unbecoming of a Christian. And they'll connect the name of our God and the name of Jesus Christ to that which is vulgar. It ought to do something to us, right? It ought to make us upset. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you didn't talk about someone's mama. You didn't say your mama. Those were fighting words back in the day. Like, your mama, be like, well, you started rolling up the sleeves, like, what? Y'all looking funny. That's the way it was. You know, it's interesting that people talk about our Lord and say his name in vain, and we just don't mean anything. It ought to mean something. That's our Savior. He's the one that saved us, and he is holy. Look at Romans 1 and verse 4. This is a powerful passage. As I was doing my word study and looking at some things that were connected to Jesus, what passages could I use that would get directly to the point? In Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. I know that's a lot of passages, but I want us to get some of the context. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It's interesting. Notice what connected to Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, here it is, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the spirit of what? Holiness. That's a powerful passage, friends. Jesus Christ is declared, according to the spirit of God, to be the Son of God, and friends, by the resurrection of the dead. What does that tell us? That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not our Lord and Savior by accident. It wasn't something that happened by happenstance. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 7. Look at verse 25 and 26. Because Jesus is holy, because he is the one that was raised from the dead, friends, he has authority to do some things. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 and 26, notice what the Hebrews writer here is pointing out as relates to Jesus Christ being a high priest. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, talking about Jesus, because he continued forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. We'll have more to say about that here in a few seconds. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Here it is. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself, so forth and so on. Friends, what does this tell us about Jesus? He's holy. He's harmless. Separate from sinners. Is that enough reasons to follow after Jesus? I would say we could give more, but that's enough. If that was the only passage that told us that Jesus Christ was holy, separate from sinners, harmless, he's not here to do us harm. He's here to help us. Because he's here to help us, we ought to follow him in our holy lifestyle. Number four, how about the ones whom Jesus makes holy? Now that's an interesting concept. Let's think about this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verse 5 and verse number 9 beginning. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse number 9, here we understand that God's people are known as holy. But a holy what? A holy priesthood. But notice what else is in that passage. A spiritual house. Remember, the house is the church. Spiritual, that's the adjective that's describing the house. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Hold on. One cannot be spiritual unless one is holy. And one cannot be holy unless one is spiritual. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Here it is. A holy nation. You remember when God began in the beginning. He started off with families. We see this in the book of Genesis. But he went from there and he developed a nation, the nation of Israel. And then went from the nation of Israel to the world. And when he went to the world, he drew out a group of people, those who obeyed the gospel, and called them his holy nation in the midst of an unholy world. Right? We're a holy nation. We're a holy group of people. We are a nation on the move with the holy gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. But I have more. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Notice what else is connected to holiness. Notice what's connected to holiness. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21. Notice what the Bible there says. There it is. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. He's talking about those who had obeyed the gospel at one time, but now they didn't left the faith. Than having known it and turned from the what commandments, friends? Holy. Not only are the scriptures holy, but the Bible calls these scriptures holy commandments. Which means that we know that Jesus's or God's commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome, that they're not too hard for us. In 2 Peter 3 and verse number 11, we know that these scriptures are going to develop a holy lifestyle. Notice 2 Peter 3 and verse number 11. Notice what the Bible there says. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, talking about the earth and how it's going to be burned up. You know, there's some today who are teaching, I'm talking about ministers in the Church of Christ, who are teaching that the earth is going to be renovated. The Bible teaches us that it's going to be consumed with fire. It's going to be burned up. And since this is the case, what manner of persons ought you to be in what type of conduct, friends? Holy. Holy conduct. A conduct that is set apart, that is different, devoted directly and only to God. Yet, this conduct is going to drive us and direct us in a particular position and direction. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Look at verses 19 and 22. I'm glad to hear the pages turning. That means that you're still with me. God desires for us to be a holy people, to be identified with him. And when I am holy, I'm striving for everything about me to be holy. And friends, I was talking to a good brother. Matter of fact, everybody, most people here know him, Brother Corey Hall. Him and I was talking yesterday, as a matter of fact. And he said something that I really appreciated. And I said, man, I appreciate you saying this because I need to do the same thing. He said, you know, just thinking about holiness, I need to shore some things up in my life. I remember telling Evelyn that. I said, you know, I need to shore some things up in my own personal life. I need to get it closer to the cross. And closer to Jesus. And friends, we ought to be able to get closer and closer to the Lord. We should never be content with where we are. We should be always striving toward that mark. Look at verse 19 and also in verse number 20 as it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 19. He says, speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now. Now, he's encouraging the Roman brethren. Now, you need to do something now. You need to present your members as slaves of righteousness. Now, let's stop there real quick. Slaves? A slave is a person that doesn't have any rights. A slave is a person that doesn't tell their master what they're going to do. A slave is one that does what the master says without even questioning him. Friends, we have a master that we know that will take care of us. You know, some of us have the mentality, I'm nobody's slave. No, the Bible is right. You're going to be a slave of righteousness or unrighteousness. You fit one group. We would rather be slaves of righteousness, and notice the progression, if you will, or the purpose for holiness. This is why we are designed to be righteous. But notice verse 22. In verse 22, but now having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your, notice, fruit. That's the results of what God is doing through you, through the word, to holiness, and the end, notice the progression here, everlasting life. There is a purpose for our righteousness, is for holiness. There is results of righteousness, everlasting life. There's a progression here. Friends, I believe that we ought to be striving to be a people of holiness. Why? Look at 2 Corinthians 7 and look at verse number 1. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1, don't have time to deal with chapter 6, verses 14 through the end of the chapter. You go back and you read that, and he's telling them, come out from among them, be separate, I'll be your God, I'll be your father, you'll be my sons and daughters. Identification, closeness, connection. And then notice what he says in verse number 1 of chapter 7. Therefore, with that being said, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's the body, and spirit, that's the mind, the conscience, perfecting, meaning to bring to an end, holiness in the reverence of God. Wow. Now, you're probably asking yourself, what does this have to do with my life? Well, friends, when you look at the perfect standard that we have in Jesus Christ, I don't see how we can look in the mirror and say, I don't have nothing to work on. And friends, it ought to determine how we live in everything. One more passage as it relates to the body of this lesson, and then we'll go into a conclusion. Look at Ephesians 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul would use this same type of language. But he talks about that new man. You know, some people, even if they're in Christ, out of Christ, some of them think they're in Christ, and because they're acting a little bit better than what they used to, they say, man, you don't want to bring out that old man in me. I mean, they'll say that. That's good. We like to hear that, meaning that they're not thinking the way that they used to. But here, Paul is talking to the church, and he's making that contrast between the old man before baptism, before Christ, before the gospel, before submission, and the new man after Christ, or after baptism, and now going toward perfection. Notice what he says in verse number 20. Let's read, start at verse number 20 through 24. He says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. You know, one thing about lust, you got to watch lust, because it'll keep you from being holy if you don't bring it in check. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is the only time this phrase is actually used in the text, in the scriptures. And that ye put on the new man, which was created according to God, notice this, in true righteousness and holiness. Now that's interesting. That righteousness is connected to holiness. The new man is connected to holiness. The new man is connected to being renewed. The new man is connected to holiness. All of it is connected together. Well, what does that mean to me? Well, as a Christian, our holiness ought to be growing every single day. You know, there are so many things that bombard our minds. Sister Bonnell and I, between services, was watching a little television show, you know, just relaxing, having a good old time, spending time together, and a commercial came on. And I said, Evelyn, look at that. Both of us squinted our eyes like, and it was a preview to a show that was going to be coming on in July. A preview. This is not even the real deal yet. Unholy is all outdoors. And Evelyn said something. She said, and watch when that show come on, and some Christian's going to be running to Facebook saying, I can't wait to see such and such. Almost lost my breath just looking at it. Men and men kissing. Am I lying, Evelyn? It was horrific. And I'm thinking, and that's what they're putting on television? I'm almost wanting to bring back Leave It to Beaver. Father Knows Best. Bring those shows back. At least have something that you're teaching the people that's going to lead them in some type of moral direction. Friends, we're Christians. And we have to watch what goes in. Because if not, then we cannot truly identify with the holiness of God. I want to leave you with two passages. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 14. I believe you can make application with some of the things that we discuss on tonight. God is holy. And because God is holy, in verse number 10, God truly desires for us to be partakers. Now, one thing that all of us should have a desire of, and that's to be partakers in that which is good. Here we see in verse number 10, for they indeed for a few days, talking about the chastisement, a father chastising his son as God was chastised those whom he loved, chastened us as seemed best to them, but he, talking about God, for our profit, in order that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, notice what's connected to holiness. Chastisement. God says, I love you so much that I want to discipline you. Because I know that if I discipline you, if I chasten you, you're going to be a partaker of my holiness. Do we live in a time today where people don't want you telling them anything? Tell me. I can do whatever I want to. Well, maybe that's the issue. God desires for us to be a partaker of his holiness. But notice why. Verse number 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyous for the present, but painful. You know, your kid's supposed to cry when you put that hand on him. I'm going to leave that alone. You know, when I used to hear the chaining of that belt, man, when that, I'm like, Daddy about to lose. You know, we hid that belt, he never found it. You know, I can tell that secret now. That's about 40 years ago. Notice what he says. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God's chastisement, God's holiness, partaking in his holiness, actually trains us. But drop down to verse 14, and I'll leave you with this one. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now that really makes sense, because since God is holy, we should have a desire to be holy in every aspect of our lives. And we should desire for God to chasten us. Like the psalmist would say, chastise me, correct me. But as Jeremiah would say, just don't correct me in your hot displeasure. Friends, I want us to consider the holiness of God and be thankful that you're part of a church. I'm not talking about Ninth Man. I'm talking about the Church of Christ that truly loves holiness. And there's always a remnant trying to do what God desires for them to do. Whether it is in West Texas, East Texas, California, there's always people trying to do what God desires for them to do. Shouldn't we desire to be holy every single day? If you're not a child of God, we want you to be holy. But the only way that you can be holy is, well, you got to rid sin. You have to make a decision that you're going to leave sin alone and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The beautiful death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And even though it was brutal, it's beautiful in this time side, because we can look back and say, thank you, God, for doing that for me. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God himself will operate upon you and make you holy. Or maybe a child of God and you haven't been holy. Or maybe you need to work on your holiness. It's a little bit more today than what you did yesterday. All of us can fit that bill. Let us help you. Let us pray for you as we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.